Leadership File on Premier.
This is your host, Andy Peck, welcoming you to The Leadership File, the show assisting Christians in leadership to lead as Jesus would lead if he were in their situation. If you're new to the show, a reminder, the show is available on demand via premierradio.com or via iTunes. Just type The Leadership File and you can select from several hundred past episodes. I'm delighted to say that my book, The Leadership Road Less Travelled, is selling well. It's published by CWR and Premier and is available at the Premier shop. So the book includes what I've learned about leadership through guests spanning over a decade. Now this week we're looking at changing a church's culture. Culture is defined as the ideas, customs and social behaviour of a particular people or society. And from time to time, church leaders will sense the church culture needs to change to be more in line with where they think God would have them to be. Well, I'm joined this week by Len Chetkuti, who with her husband John is a national partner for Natural Church Development UK, also known as NCD, a ministry which, among other things, helps churches with culture change since the mid-1990s. So welcome back, Lynn, to The Leadership File.
Thank you, Andy. It's really great to be here.
So thank you. Yeah, thank you for making this time. Just a little bit background as to what NCD is for those who are unfamiliar with the ministry.
Well, essentially, at NCD, we come alongside church leaders, churches, leadership teams, denominational leaders, and we help them to support them as they invest in the health and the development of their churches. As leaders, they look to see their churches becoming increasingly, you know, as per the vision that God's given them.
Right. And we first met when you were serving in a local church yourself.
Indeed. Yes. I was pastoring in the Vineyard Movement. I think we met when I was pastoring in Reading and subsequently planted out in Bracknell.
Yeah, good. You went through the NCD as a church, I seem to remember, before you ever thought of working with them.
That's right. Yes, I did, actually. Some 20 years ago, probably the earliest days of NCD in the UK, essentially within the Vineyard movement, with other leaders, we engaged with the paradigm. And really, that was our primary strategy for investing in the health and development of our church at the time. It was something we found stunningly helpful. And over the years, literally, just increasingly used it locally until such time was asked to join the board and help other churches, other leaders to engage.
Yeah. So the answer to the question, how do you help to change a culture, is really to invite you along to be with church leaders. So that's probably the bottom line of our conversation. But for the purposes of this conversation, let's just talk a little bit about the kind of tools that you have to whet the appetite for some who might want to employ you, but also just to inform others as a way of thinking about church culture. So the particular tools that NCD uses.
From a church perspective, the primary tool that church leaders will engage with is a church survey tool, and that helps the leaders to get feedback from across the fullness of their church in terms of their members' experience of life in that church. It assesses all of the principles of health and growth and enables the leaders to see which aspects they're running at a stronger level and which aspects are less developed. So that's when you're focusing on the fullness of church. When you're looking at individual leaders, individual disciples, we have lots of discipleship tools that help people to assess where they are, for example, in their leadership, how they are developing, where they're stronger, less developed, how they might invest in their growth, etc. And those tools cover a variety of topics.
Sure. So remind me how many there are in terms of the different topics that you ask members to assess their church on?
Well, we ask many, many questions, but essentially they lie across 8 essential areas of health within church life.
Okay. And again, just to give us a flavour of some of those areas, just for listeners.
Okay, so every church, for example, has leadership. The questions will be asked to help to assess how empowered individuals actually feel in their own personal ministries, and to what degree they're focusing on empowering other leaders, identifying, recruiting, training others across church life and across the fullness of the ministry that God's given them inside and outside of church. Every church allocates work to people, different roles to people, based on ideally their gifting. And it will look to see to what extent their members are engaging in acts of service related to their gifting, their passions, their calling, and how they're growing with that regard. Shall I give you some others?
Yeah, please do. Yeah, give us the...
So we'll look at the spirituality of individuals across the fullness of church and really help them to assess how passionate they are in their pursuit of Jesus, to what extent they are able to feed on the word of God for themselves, to encounter God through prayer, etc., to reach out to others, to be an example in their lives. Yeah. We'll look at the structures of church and see how effective and functional they are, to what degree they're really releasing life and ministry rather than being structures that people have to work with. You know, the structure should always work for the people rather than the other way around, but sometimes we lose track of that. We'll look at a worship service. Worship services vary phenomenally across the fullness of church. The style is not the key factor. The style is the choice of each individual. The question is whether that worship service is really an inspirational experience for people, whether the people who come can truly encounter God in that experience, and as they encounter him, experience the change that he would bring about in their lives. We look at small groups. We look at the degree to which small groups truly invest in the full discipleship of each individual. You know, whether they are Bible study type groups, whether they're task orientated groups, social groups, looking at how you can take any connection with a small group of people and use that as a real hub for discipleship, for leadership development, for pastoral care, etc. Lots of outreach is done through churches across our country. Really, the survey too will help you to assess whether you're identifying who it is you're trying to reach, you are aware of the needs that they have, and actually you're able to match resources, gifts, talents, etc., that you have to meet those specific needs. And we'll look at relationships. Every church is jam-packed full of relationships, but to what degree are they truly loving? Are they giving? Are they investing in others, caring and discipling in every context?
Right. Oh, thank you. And what typically would be the trigger for a church to get in touch with you? Sometimes perhaps you're not always aware, but sometimes you'll gain something of the narrative.
Well, generally speaking, to be honest, simply the desire to grow and develop.
Okay.
You know, that's the primary trigger. It's a desire to recognise what we have is good, but to appreciate that God has substantially more for us, and it's the pursuit of that more that really, really sets the process off.
Right, right. And so the church gets in touch with you. You do the survey. What sort of time frame are we talking? How long does the church have to do the surveys typically, and then when do you get the results back?
Okay, so essentially that's entirely down to the church itself.
Okay.
I mean, technically, for example, you could decide that your church could decide that they would like to take a survey. You could make that decision today. Everybody within your church could receive an email tomorrow, and actually you could have your results tomorrow evening.
Wow.
It can be as fast as that.
Sure.
I mean, very typically, a church board will decide that they're going to survey. They'll set a date in the diary to do that, you know, maybe in a month's time, maybe in 2 months' time, but something that works with their time frame. And you've got two ways that you can gather data from your people. You can gather online, where each member basically gets an email link to a website where they fill in their questionnaire directly. Alternatively, you can gather people together in community, so gather them perhaps after a worship service or the likes, and you can ask them to complete a form manually. Mm. For some churches, particularly churches that are more rural, often they will conduct the survey manually. For younger churches, churches with larger numbers of people, more often than not, they'll do it online. But essentially, once the data is in, the survey can be the results can be produced virtually instantly. Mm. It is a matter of minutes to produce the outcomes of the survey.
Well, and of course, you've been a church leader who've been on the receiving end of the survey. Presumably, sometimes you'll find church leaders who say, "Good gracious, I don't believe that." Would that be a reaction?
That is a reaction at times. More often than not, quite frankly, the more shocking reaction is I didn't need a survey to point this out to me.
Right, okay.
I've known this. That was very clear.
Right.
Terribly, when I ask the question, how long has that been the case? Then often the answer is 10 years, maybe.
Okay.
So the question is, well, shall we do something about it?
Sure.
As a church leader, you generally speaking have a sense of the underlying currents across church, but equally so, you don't always have the fullness of that objective feedback. And actually, this process not only gives you a picture of where we are currently, it gives you many, many opportunities to actually invest in order to move in the direction that you desire to move in. And that's exactly what the process is about. It's about identifying this is where we are. This is where we believe God wants us to be, and actually looking at the steps to move from here to there as readily as we can, taking our people with us, blessing and encouraging them as we go.
Yeah. So it's a wake up call in that sense, isn't it? It's this is where I suspected we were. Now you've given me some data to actually say that indeed is where we are. Now we need to work on it. And of course, involving the church in it means that everyone is aware that the leadership are taking this process seriously.
Well, it's interesting you use the term wake up call, because in actual fact, it's more like a healthy lifestyle. It's more like working with a personal trainer.
Okay.
It's more like working with somebody who is simply in place to help you to move in the direction you want to move in. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the fullness of church, because everybody is aware that they are invited to contribute, they're invited to give their feedback. Everybody has that sense of being heard. Because everybody essentially completes on an equal basis, it means you know how it is in church life. Sometimes there are some very vocal people who either will get the lion's share of the attention in terms of direction or simply the lion's share of the noise, whereas actually this puts everybody on an even playing field. Everybody has their say without having to exercise their voice, without having to stand up publicly. So you get very, very clear feedback from the entire church with regards to their experience of life within the church. As leaders, often you know what direction you're moving in, you know what the vision is, you know what you have said. What you don't know is what people have heard, what they have experienced. And actually this joins up the dots for you on that. So you can see not only what you're aiming to give to people, but also what they are actually receiving from you, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yeah, indeed. Well, you're listening to Leadership Farm with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Lynn Cecchetti, who with her husband John is a national partner for National Church Development UK. We'll be back. National Church Development UK. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership Farm with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Lynn Cecchetti, who with her husband John is a national partner for Natural Church Development UK, a ministry which, among other things, helps churches with cultural change. We're looking at cultural change this week, and before the break, Lynn was outlining a little bit about how Natural Church Development functions and how churches are able to survey their members and get some feedback on the different areas, particularly eight areas, which can be looked at and which gives a church leader some tools potentially to help the church grow in those particular areas. I guess the speed of change will vary from area to area, Lynn, in terms of different elements. What might take the longest in your experience when people get the feedback, or is that kind of question something that depends on other factors?
that there are so many aspects that we might invest in actually as we get the results guides coming back from our survey. But essentially, you can look at things in two different categories. You have the responses that are corporate responses that require leaders to lead, to manage, to organize, etc. And those, quite frankly, they are much quicker and more readily applied. And then you have all the personal aspects that really relate to personal discipleship, the things that very much so involve impact in the hearts, the minds of the people. And they take longer. They are tougher. And you have both dynamics in every one of these eight areas of operation.
Right. I mean, a few years ago, I interviewed Bruce Collins, who's now at New Wine Cymru. He was reflecting on his time at Christ Church Kenton, a church in South London, and he suggested it took him 7 years to turn an Anglican church in South London to have what he called a charismatic culture. I don't know whether that kind of surprises you that long.
I assume you want a more in-depth answer than it doesn't surprise me at all. No. I mean, when you're working with a culture, I mean, bear in mind how long it has taken to develop the existing culture in the first instance. You know, cultural change is always a challenge. It's like going back to those personal aspects of discipleship. When it comes to impacting the hearts, the minds, the thinking, the emotions of the people, actually, that's a big ask. It's a big a great requirement of leaders. The reality is cultural change is essential, and it's absolutely critical that we do invest in it. You know, when we look at leadership generally, I think much good leadership is actually about cultural engineering. You know, much of it is about looking at the future, looking at the change that we want to bring about, and frankly, you know, asking us whether that actually fits the existing culture. So often we need to invest in the culture itself in order to develop the right culture to enable the change that's coming about, the change that we're actually managing in process. You know, so casting vision, actually helping people to really embrace this, helping people to really appreciate why we can't stay as we are. Recognizing that, you know, the cost of remaining as we are is really critical in the process. Helping people to recognize the value of the changes that we are looking to bring about, and therefore, you know, making those changes, you know, though they are costly, making them very cost effective, because what we're getting is of very substantial value. So no, it doesn't surprise me at all actually taking that period of time. That sounds like a great job on the part of a great leader. Yeah. He looks at such a significant change over a period of those years.
Right, thank you. You used the image of the personal trainer earlier, and I guess the concept of a body, which of course is a biblical one, suggests that sometimes there are lots of different elements that need addressing. So, you know, a good personal trainer is not just looking at the physical body, but also the diet, nutrition and exercise, and any injuries, etc. And I'm just wondering when it comes to whether you can change more than one element of a church, where you find that as you change one element, others simply follow on. Is that your experience?
It's interesting, isn't it? Certainly it's my experience that if you try to change many things, you end up achieving very little, if anything at all.
Right.
The real benefit comes when we work with laser-like focus on the area that's going to give us the greatest return for our effort. You know, equally so, when we're looking to manage change, we use our gifts, we use our talents, we use all sorts of resources that are available to us. And in reality, those resources, I'm going to sound like a fitness freak, which is not at all the case, but those resources are very much so like muscles. So actually, as we use those, we also see them grow and develop as a direct consequence of that. So invariably, I will encourage people to focus on less in order to see more.
Okay.
But as they use the strengths that they have, invariably they then see that knock-on effect across the board. Equally so, as I say, if they aimed for that wider covering, actually they would see very substantially less in process.
No, that's helpful. That's helpful. Now, the stereotype would be that older aged congregations would be slower to change. Is that something you found?
Well, I find it really understandable that the question would be posed. Mm. And certainly I do see some congregations with older personnel that do change on a slower basis. But I would say that the key for accelerated change is actually desire for change.
Okay.
It is vision for the future, rather than being an age dynamic or a geography dynamic or an economic dynamic, etc. Really being able to focus on the change that you desire to see and to look with expectation for that. So very often I will work with congregations that have lost an expectation to see the change that in theory they were looking for many years ago, but actually in practice they've kind of put on a back burner. Mm. And in that case, my job really is to help them to rediscover vision for the change that they're desiring, to rediscover, to have fresh insight into where it is that God is leading them. Mm. So yes, I can see why you would ask the question, but I would say that the key is actually desire and expectation to see God move. Rather than age.
No, great. Well, it's great to hear, and I'm glad you answered as you did. Any denominations or streams where your work is especially used, is it really very much across the board?
It is very across the board. We do an awful lot of work with Anglican churches, with Salvation Army churches, Adventist churches, and then we do, we have collections of churches within sort of Elam, AOG, Pentecostal churches, Vineyard churches, of course, Methodist churches, and a good smattering of independents. Okay. But it really is across the fullness of the body of Christ.
Wow, that's terrific. The stereotypical question would be the new church streams would be a little more open to change than the more traditional denominations. But you'll probably say to me, actually, it's about desire again, I would guess.
Well, often in the new church streams, they are often led by people who are more appreciative of tools that are used consistently in the business world.
Okay.
So actually, there is an easier entry point, generally speaking, with that regard.
Yep.
But equally so, all of our traditional churches are jam-packed full of phenomenal business people.
Yep.
And so, so it does vary tremendously.
Okay, good. Well, and just finally, how listeners could connect with you if they're interested in their own church, engaging with NCD?
Yeah, well, they'll find us if they Google NCD UK. They will find ncd-uk.com. That's our website. They can email us directly on info@ncd-uk.com. Dial in by telephone. Contact in any way that they desire, whatever is most helpful to them.
Okay.
For many people, they'll take some of the books that are available and begin to browse through those. And for others, that they'll choose to dive straight in.
Okay. So the next step typically would be next. Were you visiting, or how would it work? What was the next thing?
Well, most commonly, actually, churches get in touch directly and electronically, literally by email. We can set them up to conduct their surveys, and we do a lot of coaching, a lot of unpacking of results and coaching of leaders by Skype. We also do an awful lot of delivery directly face-to-face with churches, therefore the travelling across the UK. That is readily available. And we deliver a lot of training courses for leadership teams and the likes, away days for churches, etc. But the first point of contact is usually for a church engaging in conducting a church survey. And they can do that literally by emailing in or connecting on the website. And for individual leaders, very often they will look at the discipleship tools that are actually found in the various books that are publicised. Okay. And again, they're available on the website.
And prices of this and the level to which how the costs function will be on the website too, no doubt.
Yeah, Yeah, basically, if a single church is looking to conduct a survey, a single survey costs £349. The individual discipleship tools are around £16 a tool. Whether you want to look at your spirituality, your development of small groups, etc., they're all readily available.
Wonderful. Well, Lynn, it's been fascinating to chat with you. Thank you. You have a wealth of experience across many denominations and church streams. And it's terrific to hear the way in which NCD is able to help to change church culture, but also to shed light on that theme for us this week. So thank you so much.
Real pleasure to be with you. Great speech, Andy.
Good. Well, thank you. My thanks to Lynn Cetcuti at CHETCUTI, who with her husband John is a national partner for natural church development. I couldn't say that earlier, but I can now. So do log on to Premier's website and get archived versions of A Leadership File. But also come back to this particular episode and think through this conversation in the light of the church that you're leading. So my thanks to Lynn, and my thanks to you for listening, and look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.